Thank you, Mr. Tabor, and happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to be here. Glad to see all your smiling faces. Good to see such a large crowd here in Yuma. Greetings from the Phoenix East congregation, and also would like to pass along, last time I was up in northern Arizona, I had sent them greetings to you from you guys to them, and now they sent them back to you. So I'm heading up there in a couple more weeks, so hopefully I can pass along greetings to them as well from you. So once again, but it's always good to see the brethren, and I tell you, it's good to see God's people wherever you are. And just glad to see the development of everybody growing. Well, now we have the upcoming spring holy days getting ready to happen here, and such a wonderful time of year for us as God's people to, yes, we go through trials, yes, there's challenges, but it's an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to draw closer to God, an opportunity to find peace and solace in what God, our Savior, is offering us. In the announcements, you got the title of the message was Sagacious Development, and I know sagacious is not a word that many people use, but I wanted to read the definition. As an adjective, it's having showing keen mental discernment and good judgments, wise, clever, intelligent, knowledgeable, sensible, being a sage. The brethren, I really want to take this time to bring to life God's way in his development of us. We look for God's wisdom. We pray for God's wisdom. We ask God each and every day, God, please give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to do the things that are pleasing unto you. We are instructed to repent and believe, coupled with learning to love like God loves, with all our hearts, souls, minds, and love our neighbors as ourselves, because this, brethren, is a journey for eternity, not just for this physical lifetime. And as we further develop in humility, our own expectations continue to apply a sagacious lifestyle, written in every aspect of the Bible, here little, there little, coming to understand what he's trying to tell us in a greater understanding. Because the great Elohim has shown us in the scriptures that we are future kings and priests, as it says in Revelation 5:10. And if you'll turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. It says in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, brethren, not one person, but that we should all come to repentance, every one of us, all of mankind. And he's merciful enough to do the things necessary, to be patient enough for us. Well, let's go on here, but verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are in therein will be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all the holy conversations and in godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells the righteousness. Brethren, our goal is to become that spiritual being. And yesterday, my aunt, who lived in Las Vegas, succumbed, and her days here on earth are done. But Aunt Betty was probably one of the, even though she wasn't in God's church, she was, nothing fazed her, because dialysis, bring it on. Cancer treatments, I'll do it, you know, and always kept a good attitude towards it. A willingness to sacrifice for her family, a willingness to do the things. She was my mom's youngest sister. And we know we have that promise that God is going to dissolve this earth. And our decisions in the future, you got to realize how much God is going to entrust you. How much is on the line, you as a baptized member becoming part of his family and making decisions that, if given the opportunity and you have a responsibility of worlds and peoples, how many billions of lives will you impact? Have you ever thought about that? You, what's your name? You think, oh, well, I just have to take care of myself. No. No. God has a plan for us. And over in Revelations, let's turn to Revelations chapter 21 to continue on this thought process. In Revelations 21, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as its bride adorned for her husband. And I heard the great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacles of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, for God himself shall be with them and be their God." Brethren, it's the understanding why we live our lives in the fashion we do will certainly affect the reason as to why we can figure out how we are supposed to live our lives. This instruction book that we have, this 66 book instruction book, gives us an understanding as to how he wants us to think. Because when you realize that you can't eat this book, it doesn't do anything to physically help you. If you curl it enough, I guess you could build up your biceps. It's the content of what's inside the book that affects this 3 pounds of gray matter between our ears. And those are the things, that is why when we start to boil it down to what we are here for, it doesn't matter how much prophecy we understand. It doesn't change the fact of who we are to become. Each and every day in our lives, how we affect others around us, and what we have to do, how we see the world compared to the world. It's not even close. And God's thoughts are even higher, much more higher than our thoughts. As it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's inculcated the Holy Spirit into us. And think about that. If you understand what the power of the Holy Spirit is offering you, what is dwelling within you as part of God's Spirit, when we come to understand, our minds change. When you talk to people that have no clue as to what religion, or they have some form of religion. See, because religion is self. There are millions of Christians that believe that it's okay to, at the end of the year, have a heavyset man supposedly slide down a chimney. That's what they think. Now, am I criticizing them? No. Because they're coming to an understanding. Hopefully, they'll continue. It is with our help, whether in this lifetime or the next. If somebody asks you tomorrow, why don't you celebrate Christmas? I hope you have an answer for them. Because it is our job to be God's servants and to answer the questions that God has, that people may have, that people may want to change. And they may blow it off. Ah, you know what? I don't care. I don't care if it's a pagan holiday. And they may think that for a while, but you know, it comes back. It comes back. I have to report, it's such a wonderful thing in our lives, my wife and I. For we all have children. We all, you know, my son at 30 years of age decided last month, February 9th, to get baptized. And I'm so thankful. because, you know, his sister got baptized 3 years before him, but he's 3 years physically older than her. I said, well, you're older spiritually than he is, and you are, but he's physically older than you. But what a blessing. What a blessing to see the opportunity to say, hey, look, I was lost, and now I'm back. And we're seeing more and more in the Phoenix area, we're seeing people coming back to church. People we haven't seen for decades. Decades. It's still there, brethren. And you, what's your name? You make an impact on the people you talk to every day. So be aware of that. Think about it. How much it's, why it's important to have godly thinking and godly speaking. Learning to speak the language of love is not so much a dialect as it is the way to communicate in every thought, every action, and every deed. That we do the things that are pleasing unto the Lord. Not just talk about it, not just be happy here on the Sabbath and get out and never even show the light when we're out there amongst the people. Every waking moment, bringing every thought under control. Years ago, and we still have the booklet, but Mr. Armstrong wrote, "Why Were You Born?" And yet we realize that we are to become a part of his family. Now, you can just say that, that sounds good. That sounds really nice. Brethren, look at yourself in a mirror and say that. I, what's your name, am to become one of God's servants in his family. Just like my elder brother, Jesus Christ. And you should feel that shiver go down your back to think about what's at stake. Our elder brother took the time to come down, to be made into flesh, and to die so that we can live. So that sin not just is buried, that sin is washed away. It's no longer there. And so many times we want to grab that bag and just say, God, I wish I had all these sins. Your bag's not there. Hey, what happened to it? I washed it away. And we have to remember that as servants of God. Why were we born? To become a part of his family. To truly understand what it is that Christ has offered us. And that's freedom. Freedom in a sense that the darkness, if you do not allow it, if you ask for God's help to say, please, Lord, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And if it's God's will, he'll take it away. If it's God's will, he'll take it away. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8, excuse me. What a exciting time to be alive, to know that whether we have a little time or a lot of time, we still have a finish line that allows us in the next waking moment to be a part of God's family. To wake up, to be in a spiritual body. And in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man not have the spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. As heirs with Christ, in verse 12 it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of this body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, in fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness in our spirit, in that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that you may be also glorified. Brethren, we have to be led by God's Spirit. You cannot push a rope. If it's a push-pull system, but it's a pull system, he's saying, come on, I want you there. I want you there. And brethren, as we continue in this journey through eternity, we have to release the shackles of that human nature has put up on us, the ignorance and arrogance that drives most of society today and does not recognize what true power is. See, we think of nuclear weapons. We hear the planes overhead. That is physical destruction. But we're talking about real power. God's Holy Spirit, which operates this whole universe. And that's in who? That's in you. What's your name? You, as a potential heir, have the opportunity to, as we just read, joint heirs with Christ. Our King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the most loving being in the universe. What does our adversary want us to do? Fear, doubt, worry, human reasoning as to why God's not interested in me. You know, it renders mankind's ability to not see things in the correct way that God has set up. Because that direct connection, you don't have to go to any other person. You don't have to go to Randy Love and Randy Love pray for you. You can ask Randy Love to pray for you in conjunction with your prayers. There's no cardinal, there's no pope. You have a direct connection. And our intercessor, Jesus the Christ, takes our prayers. And brethren, what a wonderful relationship that we have. And as we emulate Christ, we learn the way of give rather than get. Because in our sagacious development, in a universe that is so vast and equipped with so much, and how much he's put inside of you, how much potential he has put inside of you. And as we grow, and as we read these scriptures, and as we come to understand the fullness of it, clarity begins to take place, and we start to shed away the darkness. And the bright vision of what God has in store for all mankind makes us excited, makes us understand. There's more to life than the drudgery of the everyday life that our adversary wants us to focus in on, whether we are at our jobs or wherever we're at. See, it's the unconscious mind that takes no thought to do the same thing over and over. It's the unconscious mind that God works with and talks to you so that we connect our hearts and our minds and understand how we are supposed to become. Again, as I said many times, a mirror cannot reflect in darkness. We have to look to the light, God's great light, and reflect that light when we come in contact with it. See, understanding that the power of God is the center of the universe. There is nothing greater than the power of the great God. There is nothing greater. And the love of the Father and the Son resonates throughout the universe and exceeds all understanding. The limited thinking is what keeps us from doing the things that God has made possible. We need to have unlimited thinking, knowing that when Christ said to the people standing around, "Why do you fear? What are you afraid of? Why do you lack faith?" Who's he talking to? He talks to all of us. But it's the possibility of what God has given us as followers of him, to be his servants and to do what he would have us to do. And as we heighten our sensibility, that we learn true values and true worth, not what society has dictated as, "Oh yeah, these are the things that we need to focus in on." No, brethren, it is the goodness of God, the fruits of his spirit that allow us to continue to grow, and that we learn to love one another, to serve one another, to be at peace with one another. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Having a reverent fear of God in collusion with, and not collusion, but in sequence with God. In 1 John 4 and verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for the love of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not does not know God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son to the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." It's full time that we take this 66 books and understand what it is that he's trying to say. Because it does give correction. There is destruction in this book. But then we come to see the repentance and the reverence for how powerful our God is, as in the book of Job. And then there's a resurrection. There's a repentance, and then there's a resurrection. And brethren, we have to look through the scriptures daily and focus on what is important to God. That's why we're here. Our lives should revolve around what he would have us to do. See, we have to come to understand what the scriptures actually say and what they do not say. Again, there's full religions that supposedly want to worship Christ. And as Mr. Armstrong used to say, they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. But they'll come to understand that. We're a thought away from saying, "That's it, I don't want to be in this church anymore," if we decided to throw it all away. And somebody could take your place, but we have the opportunity. It's such a great opportunity to know and to understand. And do we have all the knowledge right now? No. We're still continuing to learn. We're still continuing to grow. We do this all the time. You see, there are consequences to everything that we do. And there's consequences to choose to follow God and consequences that our adversary has to say, "Oh, God's way is not fair." I remember Mr. Bob Smith years ago, one of the ministers in Worldwide, he talked about encountering some of the demons in some of the mental institutions and speaking with them and saying, you know, that the overwhelming thought was that God's not fair. And when you read the scriptures, what, have you come to take us before our time? When the demons were, and Christ cast them out. And that mentality has taken over most of the 7 billion plus people on the face of this earth. We have a victim mentality. And Jesus Christ tried to tell us, look, I'm here with you for you. Do you understand? Do you realize how vast this universe is? And our Father can name every stone that's floating around. How great is our God? And who are we? Mere lumps of clay that he's saying, you have the opportunity to help me in the future. And not just in the future, but now. See, because the consequences of unrepentant sin always lead to and end with pain and heartache. The guilty pleasures of sin is a lie. The biggest lie that Satan has thrust upon mankind. Because there is no pleasure in sin. It only brings more heartache. And not having faith in God, the most powerful being in the universe. What are we talking about here? When you see these tables, when you see the trees, when you see the sky, who made those? And you have direct access to him. It should send shivers up your spine to understand what is being offered to you. How he wants to, you as his children, to be a part of his family. So when we talk about it, when I mentioned sagacious, part of it was sage, and sage conduct. And I have an acronym for it, is sensible, advanced, growth, expansion. Sage, a noun, I'll give you the definition, a profoundly wise man, especially one who features in the ancient history or legend. Again, the vastness of this universe, yet every element that God has created can be found all the way down in his energies, his microscopic level. Billions of miles away, right here in this room. Even the quote-unquote emptiness that we think that is in this room between people. We were talking earlier. If you point that radio, point that speaker this way, it'll interfere. We can't see it, but it will mess up. But there's so much that we have to learn. It's just exciting to know what he wants us to know. And we're going to know that and even more. Driving down here, seeing all the purple and yellow and red and orange flowers. Who planted those? Not us. Those seeds can lay dormant for years. But we have a great God that wants us to learn so that we can be a part of his growth and development and to do the same thing and to teach others. Kings and priests, brethren. You know, we are just physical components, molecules, elements, given a spark of life that he's going to allow us as created beings to be a part of his family. Let's go over to Romans again, and should have kept you over there, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 21, Romans chapter 8 once again in verse 21. Knowing this, because in Romans chapter 8 and verse 21 it says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into a glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now. And not only then, but ourselves also, that we have the first fruits of God's Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, it was interesting to, my sister was in Las Vegas with my aunt, and she was going through her last days, and you know, just very similar in how the process begins to shut down, the body shuts down. But at the same time, we know that that's not the end. It's the beginning. It's another beginning. It's another opportunity for her when she's brought back to physical life to understand what you're being taught today. Now, how special are you? How special would you not be if you don't take advantage of what God's given you? Brethren, we have a God that governs the seen and unseen universe. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2 and begin in verse 6. As I mentioned before, the spirit world is more real than the physical world. Why? Because it's been around longer. It's been around a lot longer. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that have come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." So we activate that Spirit inside of us with his help. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is a judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That's you, brother. Because again, we're talking about our elder brother who sacrificed so that we can be a part of his family. Yeah, and God doesn't change. When we think about it, and you don't have to turn there, but you can read in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, we're talking about the King of the Ancient of Days. It says, "I beheld," Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, "I beheld the thrones that were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair on his head was pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." If you go on down in verse 13, it says, "I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and they were given dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all the people and all nations and languages should serve him, his dominion, and an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away." We know that of his government and of his peace there will be no end. We have evidence of ages before us that have come and gone, but this time, where we're at today, God is allowing us to come to a greater understanding of who he is and who he wants us to become. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, you can write that down. It says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I'm also known." Brethren, Satan has try to veil all of what God has done that is good, but he can't do it. As we draw closer to God, we build that momentum to say, "Wow, yeah, no, I don't need to listen to this. No, I don't need to respond to that. I need to stay focused on the light." And all that stuff in the rearview mirror, I could flip the mirror down and turn it away. What good is it? If it's not good, and if it doesn't draw you closer to God, why is it still part of your life? See, we have to identify with the true source of wisdom. It's learning to search in the right area for the right resources. Understanding that this book is the beginning and the end of where we're going to find true wisdom, true understanding. I've read many different publications from all different religions, but any of the good principles that they have are found here first. Whether you go to the Far East, whether you go to South America, Native Americans that were here before, anything that is of value, any thoughts that promote the goodness for all mankind started here. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody think that there's another wisdom out there. We're here to learn God's way of life. You know, what Christ did here on earth was only a sampling. He showed us the potential. You imagine standing next to him, and this wasn't a magic show, but you got 5,000 people standing around, and you got a few fish and a couple loaves of bread, and it just keeps coming, and it just keeps coming. Christ showed true power because it wasn't for him. He was here to serve our God, God the Father. He healed the blind. He gave the deaf their hearing back. He even brought the dead back to life. Him revealing the future with Moses and Elijah over in Matthew chapter 17. And I'll just refer to that. But when the transfiguration, you can read from Matthew 17, verse 1 through 9. These brief examples allude to the greatness that is to come. That's our future. Not being governed by time, space, or matter. You know, again, it's interesting in the sense that how connected we are as brethren, because when we hear of one of our brethren suffering, we all suffer with them. We hurt. We pray. Say, God, please allow them to be better, get better, or do what's best for them. But that's that interconnectivity and understanding that the heart has more electrical field than the brain activity. See, it's one God. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 18. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolish, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser by far than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how not that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the mighty, confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, yea, the things which are not, he brings to naught things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him that are of Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's amazing how Satan can take, and what did Jesus Christ tell us to do throughout the Gospels? Worship the Father. And what do we hear today in most of the Christian churches? Love Jesus. Love Jesus. It's not wrong to love Jesus, but what did Christ tell us to do? How can we? Anyway. You know, it's God's wisdom. I liken it to like gravity. We know that there's something there. We don't float off in the, we're not tethered to the earth. We don't float off the ground. We may not see it, touch it, or taste it, but we know that it's there. The same thing with God's Holy Spirit. We know that we need it. There's something more that we need. This can't be the only life. When you see people on the streets down and out, if you walk in neighborhoods and have knives pulled on you and put to your throat, and these people, they say, I can't fear man. I cannot fear man. What can man do to me? I don't recommend you do that. I foolishly did, but it happens. But you go where God asks and tells you to go. See, this whole universe is in perfect harmony except for this one little blue planet, this training ground. This present age is not the reality of things to come. This is but a vapor. But out of that vapor, as we grow, think about it. January 7th, 1984, I never knew what was going to happen when I went under that watery grave. But as I stand here today, has it made me special? Not in the sense that if I don't serve him and utilize the words of wisdom that he's given us to learn how to live a sagacious lifestyle, it means nothing. We have an adversary that 24/7 broadcast all day long trying to distract us from what's important. And we have to understand and awake to the fact that God's Holy Spirit, his ways, his actions, his deeds are extremely more powerful. Anything you can think of as being powerful, it pales into comparison when we talk about what has been given to you as a baptized member of God. There's nothing greater. And it dwells within you. Over in 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to wrap it up here soon. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. This is, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of the world that have come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God revealed himself through unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Brethren, again, the calling you have, what you've been offered, there's nothing greater. And what are you going to do with it? Having our name written into the book of life would constitute the tremendous level of trust that God has bestowed upon you. From a creator to believe that you are always, always going to do the right thing. It was not by accident that he chose, what's your name? He chose you. It's not an accident. You're not sitting here because you just decided there was nothing to do in Yuma other than come to this little hall and sit here. I'm sure there's golf to be had. There's other things. There's cars to be bought. There's cars to be washed. There's work to be done. But you know where to be. And God has bestowed you with that privilege because you have an opportunity for the rest of eternity to do the things that are pleasing unto Him. And as the Holy Spirit increases in our lives, we eliminate the influences of our adversary, the wickedness. Make it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller by allowing God's Spirit to grow and grow and grow inside of us. The God of this universe represents true power, true wisdom, and complete love. And that's what we are looking for. Our existence is as a result of God showing love to us, showing immense patience, kindness. Brethren, what do we have to do until our change comes?